Is that too much? Not too much. Very
good. Yeah.
Sorry.
a sojan and a sojas one.
Pragnya vadam shabhashase.
Gata suna gata sunscha.
Nanu shocham
vipanditaha.
Natve
vaham jatu nasam.
Natvam me me janadipaha.
Nachaiva na bhavishyamaha.
Sarve vayamatah param.
Sarve vayamatah param.
Dehi nosmin yatha dehe.
Dehi nosmin yatha dehe.
Kaumaram
yauvanam jara.
Tatha dehantara praptihi.
Tatha dehantara praptihi.
Dhirastatra namuhyati.
Dhirastatra namuhyati.
Matra
sparshastu kanteya.
Shitoshna
sukha dukkha.
Agama payino nityaha.
Agama payino nityaha.
Tamsti tikshasva bharata.
Tamsti tikshasva bharata.
Yam hina vyata yam yante. Yam
Yanhina vyatayam tete.
Purusham purusharshabha.
Purusham purusharshabha.
Samadukkasukham dhiram.
Samadukkasukham dhiram.
Somrtatvaya kalpate.
Somrtatvaya kalpate.
Nasato vidyate bhavah.
Nasato vidyate bhavah.
Na bhavo vidyate satah.
Na bhavo vidyate satah.
Ubhayorapi drishtontah.
Ubhayorapi drishtontah.
Tvanayostatva darshibih.
Tvanayostatva darshibih.
Avinashitu tat vidhi.
Avinashitu tat vidhi.
Yena sarvamidam tatam.
Yena sarvamidam tatam.
Vinasham avyayasyasya.
Vinasham avyayasyasya.
Nakashchit kartum arhati.
Nakashchit kartum arhati.
Antavanta ine dehaha.
Antavanta ine dehaha.
Nityasyoktya sharirinaha.
Nityasyoktya sharirinaha.
Anashino prameyasya.
Anashino prameyasya.
Tasmat yudhyasva bharata.
Tasmad yudhyasva bharata.
Ya enam veti hantaram.
Ya enam veti hantaram.
Yashchainam manyate hatam.
Yashchainam manyate hatam.
Ubhautau na vijanitaha.
Ubhautau na vijanitaha. Nayam hanti na hanyate.
Na jayate mriyate va kadachite.
Na jayate mriyate va kadachite.
Nayam bhutva bhavi.
pitavana bhuyaha
nayam bhutva bhavitavana bhuyaha
ajo nitya shashvato yam puranaha
ajo nitya shashvato yam puranaha
na hanyate hanyamane sharire
na hanyate hanyamane sharire
veda
vinashinam nityam ya enam majamavyayam katam sapurushah partha kam ghatayati hantikam
vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya
vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya
navani ghrnati naro para naro parani
navani ghrnati naro parani
tatha sharirani vihaya jirnani
tatha sharirani vihaya jirnani
anyani samyati navani dehi
anyani samyati navani dehi
nainam chindanti shastrani
nainam chindanti shastrani
nainam dahati pavakaha
nainam dahati pavakaha
na chainam kledayantyapaha
na chainam kledayam japaha
na shoshayati marutaha
na shoshayati marutaha
achejoyam
adahyoyam
akejo shoshya evacha
akejo shoshya evacha
nityas sarvagatasthanu
Nityas sarvagatasthanuh
achaloyam sanatanaha
achaloyam sanatanaha
avyaktoyam achintyoyam
avyaktoyam achintyoyam
avikaryoyam uchyate
avikaryoyam uchyate
tasmat evam viditvainam
tasmadevam viditvainam
nanushochitum arhasi
atha chainam nitya jatam
nityam vamanyase mrtam
nityam vamanyase mrtam
tathapi tvam mahabaho
tathapi tvam mahabaho
nainam shochitu arhasi
nainam shochitu arhasi
jatas yahi dhruvo mrtyuhu
aren't we on 26? Yeah, we haven't been 26 yet. But we're going to do 27 and 28 also, but let's stop. You can do that after I do 26. We didn't do 26. Okay. We did 26 now. No.
Oh, no,
yeah, no, no. Okay. Let's take a moment. Ata Cha Enam Nitya Jatam Nityam Va Manyase Mritam Tatapi Tvam Mahabaho Na Evam Shojitu Arahasi. So here, the first verses that we've just been through, why you should not grieve, is understanding the pratyagatma, that innermost self that you are, never goes through any change or birth and death at all. The being that you are is the being that you will always be and always have been, free from time. But then Krishna says, you know, even if you take this self really to be the sukshma sharira, the subtle body, the transmigrating subtle body, even then there's no cause for grief. So he says, atacha. And atacha here means, and now even then, on the other hand, like in what we call laukika, there's just the normal understanding of who you are from an Indian or Eastern perspective, you are the transmigrating jiva. So you're taking birth after birth after birth after birth. So he says, and even if for you, manyase, enam manyase, you consider, enam means this atma, if you consider yourself, if you consider the self, yourself, to be nitya jatam, always being born, nitya here means always, so nitya jatam means birth after birth after birth, if you consider yourself to always be being born, and nitya mritam, always dying, birth after birth after birth, death after death after death, rebirth, continual rebirth. So they even say this, at some point you think, is this going to go on forever? Am I going to continue, you know, taking a birth and then going through death and taking a birth and going through death forever? That's one of the thoughts that says, is there any way to get off of this samsara chakra, that wheel? Chakra means wheel. This wheel of samsara, which is birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, birth, death. Is there any way off of that wheel? Is there any way off the wheel of change? You know, so that's one of the realizations or one of the things that comes to the mind of a mumukshu. It wouldn't come to your mind if it was just one long journey of ananda. You know, all is well with me, all is well with me, all is well with me. This experience is wonderful. This is wonderful. This experience is good. Yeah, this is good, 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 good. Okay. Swargaloka, you know, no problem. No problem, but that's not our experience. So our experience is one is Swamiji Jog Sukaduka. Sukha Dukha 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 Sukha Dukha Dukha Dukha. So you get worn out. You get worn out by the lack of relaxation. Because even a relaxed state is not that relaxed. Because you know it's going to change. That's the problem with any relaxed state. That's the problem with any type of sukha. You can't relax into it because you know, without a doubt, that it's going to go. And so every sukha, every pleasurable experience has an underlying tension or an underlying grief. You can't be free, really, to totally enjoy it. Unless you're a jnani. If you're a jnani, you'll be free to totally enjoy it, to totally be present to whatever experience is there, because you're not dependent on the experience where you're ananda. So in any case, so even if you, so Bhagavan says to Arjuna, even if you consider yourself, the atma, to be this transmigrating jiva, he says, tatapi, still, Twamyu Mahabaho. Mahabaho means the one who has great arms, great strength, the one who has great, great strength, Mahabaho. It's vocative. So, you, hey Mahabaho, na evam sochitum arhasi. There's no reason, you have no reason to grieve in the way that you're grieving now. In this manner, I see you so devastated, so grieving, and so distraught. There's no reason for this grief, he says. Sochitum is to grieve. Arhasi means there's no reason to it, but kind of like you're not qualified. This grief really, what you're grieving for
is really not qualified to warrant this type of a grief, you know. So for you, there's no reason for this grief, he says. Now he gives the reason. Okay, so let's do the next verse. Because this is just the beginning statement. Okay.
27.
Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuhu.
Dhruvam
janma mrtasya cha.
Tasmat
aparihariyate.
Natvam shochitum arhasi.
Jatasya hi dhruvaha mrityuhu dhruvam janma mrtasya cha. Tasmat aparihariye arte natvam shochitum arhasi. He means here because jatasya hi. Because for that which has been born, right, for that which has been born, dhruvaha mrityuhu, death is inevitable. There's no option. It's not like, well, I see you're getting to live forever. You know, so there's some variable there. Maybe I could live forever. No. We all know that if you're born, anything that has been born, that will die. There's no such thing of eternality in terms of birth and death, and there's also no eternality in the middle. You know, those are what we call these shed bhava vikaras, the sixfold modifications that any living being goes through. It's born, and then it exists, and then it grows, and then it goes through puberty, and then apakshiyate, it starts to decline, and then it dies. Those are the six modifications that all living beings go through. And so, in fact, we're very aware of every one of those modifications. And we might try to, like, make the apakshiyate, this decline more slowly, you know. But even if instead of the decline being like that, it still ends in mrityu, in death, right? And so this is something we're certain about. Dhruva means certainty. We have certainty. We don't have any doubt about it. When that's the case, he says, he says, tasmat, first he says, because this is a fact that all of us know and all of us accept, you know, it's a fact, tasmat, therefore, when something is inevitable, when it's unavoidable, then why is it, what is the reason for your grief? It doesn't deserve to be grieved over. Because when you think of it logically, why are we grieving over something that can't be different, that we can't change, you know? And so then in Shankara's commentary, in Swamiji, I read his commentary, he also comments on this, you know? You could say, well, I know that everything that is born and everyone who is born has to die. I accept that. But couldn't they live a little longer? They could live longer. They don't have to die right now, right? Their life could be extended. Their life was cut short. Could have gone on. And then in Swamiji's commentary, he says, and actually in Shankara's commentary also, he says, yes, but how do you know you're going to be there? As they continue on just a little bit longer, what's the certainty that you yourself will be there? You know, because it's a certainty for you and for them that you're here for a given amount of time, and when that time is up, you will go. And so what is the argument here? What is the fight? What is really the cause for the grief? Objectively speaking, what is the cause for the grief? There's another interesting thing that I see Swamiji brought up in his commentary. This life, you know, is in the total scheme of things very short. it may be 80 years or even 100 years, in the total scheme of things, in the reference to the universe itself and the time sequence of the universe, how long the universe has been here, your life isn't even a blip. It's like a blip of a blip of a blip. Yeah. Like that. In the scheme of things, you know? And so, what is the big deal in terms of the whole scheme? But this life actually, if you look at it like this, this life itself, if I say, okay, this life itself goes by in terms of moment, 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 moment. That's how it is, you know? And so you're allotted, in fact, in the Shastra, it'll say, you are allotted in every given life so many breaths. You know, so in pranayama and whatnot, we try to slow down our breath to extend the number of breaths. You're allotted so many breaths. But say, in another way, you can say, you're allotted so many moments. In your prarabdha, there's an allotment of so many moments or of so many breaths. So what that means is that you're going to be here and you're going to go within a given period of time. But it's not really that you're going to die, you're going to go. Means, from a Hindu perspective, where reincarnation is just as real as breathing, you know, I'm here, and then I'm here and gone. Means in reference to the body and the experience I'm having, this experience is up. So I'm moving on to another experience. You're doing the same thing in life. This experience is up. You're moving on to the next experience. This piece of prarabdha has come to an end, and now you're moving into something else, and now you're moving into something else. We're fine with that in reference to our life. And I suppose also we could grieve over that. I don't want to move into this next experience. Well, that's going to cause a lot of grief through your whole life. You know, where I want this to stay. I want this to stay. And, you know, there's nothing in the universe that agrees with that. There's no buy-in on the part of the universe or on anybody else, from anybody else. Life is fluid. It moves and moves and moves. So you can either, you know, kind of surf the wave, you know, or try to stop the wave. And so it's much better to surf the wave, you know, to go with your life and be interested in it. And you can also have that same attitude if you know from in terms of your belief system or in terms of your culture, if you know birth after birth after birth after birth, okay, this one is over. My prarabdha is over. These karmas are over. Let's see what comes next. Because to even understand yourself as the subtle body, there is no gap in your being. There is nothing that dies. There's no death experience. Because the life experience that this body has doesn't belong to the body. This body is like a dress. It is not contributing to your life experience. There's two levels of your life experience. There's the Atma, the me, your being, that never comes into being or goes out of being. So for you, there's, even if I go really to the deepest level of my own being, I simply am. I don't even notice birth or death. That birth and death, that change, I only notice from the standpoint of itself. I explained this a little. It's an important understanding because we want always to be a knower. But we're not a knower. This is from my own standpoint, I simply am. The knowership, or the sakshitvam, what we call the sakshi, the witness, is something that depends upon the presence of your mind. When the mind is there, it is known. And that's your experience. You say, the Ajnani says, this mind is known, therefore, I am the knower. But if I get rid of the mind that is known, how am I the knower? I still am. Nothing has happened to me. There's nothing there to know. So if there's nothing there to know, then am I just knowing nothing? You know? Am I knowing nothing? No, I'm not knowing at all. I am the consciousness which every thought enjoys. And so What we have to recognize is, yes, that thought is known because it is there. I am the knownness, the self-evident me, because of which the thought is known. So that's why when that thought goes, nothing happens to the knownness. It's not like the thought goes away and all of a sudden the knownness is going away. No. The knownness remains, the self-evident me, and the next vritti comes. The next thought comes, and then that is known. The next experience comes, that is known. Okay? Now, what about when the subtle body, which is embodying this physical body, when the physical body drops, then what happens? Well, from my standpoint, nothing happens. I am the very knownness which illumines the next event, whatever that is. If the next event is the dropping of the body and me traveling on due to my karmas to the next series of experiences, that is what is known, right? And if I were in deep sleep, that is what is known. But the deep sleep state, this is just a little aside here, but the deep sleep state, it is known because it enjoys the knownness of myself. But that state which is known, the knower known duality is in unmanifest condition. Right? So when you're in deep sleep state, I say that state is known, but there's no one to comment on it. Because all duality is, from the standpoint of the mind, is in unmanifest condition. Right? And so from the standpoint of the mind, there's no knower known. Say, oh, this is known, look what this is like, blah, blah, blah. So the knownness is, which is myself, and that state where there is no subject-object duality at all, that state of pure ajnanam, pure ignorance, is known. But there's no one to say it is known. Right? That's something you need somebody to say about it, talk about it. You need an awake mind. And so when the mind wakes up, then it says, it describes it. I slept so well. I didn't know anything. I was out like a light. It was wonderful, you know. I haven't ever had such a deep sleep. I didn't wake up at all, you know. So that's, now I'm describing the experience that was known. But when I say it was known, there was no knower. But there's never a knower. There is never a knower. There is just me that is the self-evident knownness which every vritti, every thought modification enjoys. And in that thought modification, because there's ajnanam, there's self-ignorance, one of the thoughts available to the mind is what we call the ahankara, the I notion, which then tries to make sense out of its experience. Right? So in every experience you have, there's the namarupa, there's the name and form, which is part of the thought modification. Like through my sense organs, I gain a thought modification of this room. So all of the names and forms in this room, all of us, are known, right? And so from the ahankara, we'll then say, well, I'm not all of these things that I know. I'm the one who knows them, right? So I become the knower because I am always relating to, the ahankara is always relating to the atma, to me, to the true me. And the true me is conscious being, not the object. But then it sees these objects as being known to differentiate them from me. But then I get this language, you know, the language of knowership or doership or seership or hearer. But all I'm doing is the ahankara is landing on me and then trying to make sense of my relationship to the experience, and we have the language knower known. But when we analyze our experience, there's no knower known. There is known. There is known, and I am that self-evident knownness. And that self-evident knownness, that me, is there, whatever experience is there, right, is the adhishtana, is the very being of that experience. And I am changeless. There is no coming and going for me. I don't exist as an object within time. So what happens when these experiences that exist within Maya come and go? What happens to me? Nothing. It's just whatever experience comes next is known. Right? So there is no such thing. There is no death experience at any time. There's no death experience even in your lifetime when experiences are totally being replaced by other experiences, totally being replaced on and on and on. There's no death experience. There's no, oh my God, I'm being replaced. You know? Nothing. Zero. There is no death experience when the experience of the physical body is absolutely not there. In dream, for instance, this physical body and this world is absolutely not there in my experience. I've just picked up another world and another body. No problem. There's not a ripple of change in my being. And also, it's interesting that there is no fear in the transition from the waking state to the dream state, which is a radical transition. It's absolutely radical. But, you know, from beginningless time, that's my nature in terms of Maya, in terms of having a new body, a body. It's absolutely my nature. Going to deep sleep where the whole world and even the Ahankara is totally wiped out, you don't say, oh, I'm going to lose myself, I'm going to lose myself, I'm going to... You say, oh, I can't wait to go to sleep. I can't wait. I hope I have a really deep sleep so that the world is completely blotted out and I don't have to deal with it in any way. Swamiji will say, ignorance, total ignorance is bliss. Total ignorance. So partial ignorance is a big problem, but total ignorance is bliss. No fear. No fear at all. Enjoyment, in fact. No loss of self in this life, because for there to even be knowership of the world at all is not, is the knowership is dependent on the presence of the experience. I am the self, the adhishtana of whatever experience is there, and I'm not objectifiable to be subject to time, so I never have the slightest death experience. It's not possible because the self is not able to, it doesn't qualify. The self doesn't qualify for death because it doesn't exist as an object within time. So there's no such experience. Then from the subtle body, the subtle body is not made of, it's a different order of reality in that it is not made of these physical elements. It embodies this physical body, but itself is subtle. So what is subtle is not touched by what is gross. It's just like space is not touched by air, and air is not touched by fire. You know, fire is burning in space. The space and the air don't get set on fire because they are more subtle. Yeah, so the more subtle, the subtle pervades the gross, but the gross doesn't pervade the subtle in the same way. And so your subtle body, which is sattva, we may have time to get into this, sattva means the material of the subtle body itself can reflect, like the mind and the sense organs, they reflect, sattva reflects consciousness. It is though manifest, as though manifest consciousness. Okay? And so that subtle body, which by its nature manifests consciousness, is not affected by the physical body because more subtle. And so as it travels on, this body drops, its experience is just released from the body going back to a subtle realm, which it has done from beginningless time. You know? So it's not like, oh, this is the first time. This is the first time I've left this body. No, it's not the first time. You have done it an infinite number of times because the creation is beginningless. And so this is not a new experience any more than your dream is a new experience. You don't fear the dream, so there's nothing to fear here. It's still you, you know, yourself, which is not going through any change whatsoever. And the subtle body is never away from you. As long as the subtle body exists, which it is taking birth after birth after birth after birth, as long as it is there, it will enjoy you. You know, just like every vritti you have, every thought by enjoying means it has you for its adhishtana. It depends on you for its being. And so as long as it is there, that will be the situation. And so there's no change for you, so there's no change for me in terms of the sukshma sharira. So Bhagavan says, even if you take yourself to be the subtle body that is transmigrating, what is the problem? You know? There is no death experience for yourself. There is no death experience for the subtle body. There's just a change of experiences which are based upon your karmas, the flow of your karma. Just like this life is based upon the flow of your, the experiences that manifest for you in this life are based upon the prarabdha karmas that caused you to take this birth. And those karmas don't stop. You know, the karmas, the sanchitta karmas are beginningless. You have a whole slew of them. You're not going to run out of those karmas. So these karmas that are being allowing you to take this birth, those come to an end so that because it's time to take another birth. So another set of karmas based upon who you are at the time of death, those new karmas kick in, right? And then there you go again. So some of those karmas may have to do with experiencing different subtle levels, heaven worlds and hell worlds, but they're all temporary. You know, they're experiences that need to be exhausted by you. And then you take another body that is relevant to your karma and that is relevant to who you are at the time of death, time of death of the body, the dropping of the body. And then that's how you continue on. But just like, you know, who you are today determines tomorrow, who you are tomorrow, the values you have grown into, the maturity that you have today, determines the maturity and the growth of tomorrow. So you continue going changing and changing and assimilating your experience, and then this prarabdha runs out, and who are you at that time? Yeah, in terms of your value system, you know, and some of your samskaras, but a lot has to do with your value system. What do you attract? What type of people, what type of situation does the karmas, the you means sukshma sharira here, that is there, what do you attract as you continue on will be relevant to who you are at that time when the body drops. And so then those karmas will be attracted and take you all the way through. So what's the problem here? Even from the standpoint of the sukshma sharira, but if you say, no, I don't want to experience any karmas anymore, you can't be here. You won't be taking any bodies at all if you're not experiencing karma. What do you think this is? This is a manifestation of one karma after another, after another, after another. You may think you create these events that make up your life, but actually we're responding. You are born into an event. It's not like you're born and create the event. From your birth, you are born into an event, and those events, you continue to participate in the events that are unfolding for you. And as you participate in the life that is unfolding for you, you know, you grow and change and learn, you know. You learn that if you put your hand in fire, you will get burnt. You might do it a couple of times as a child, and no, it really does burn. Okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. And you learn also, you learn dharma. Because dharma protects you, you know, and you learn the protection of dharma, the well-being of dharma. You know what dharma is. It's innate to you. It's innate to the upadhi. Because you don't really have to be told how you want to be treated. You know, you want people to love you, to like you, to respect you, to take you into account, to help you make your life better, you know, to be interested in your happiness, to be there when you are sad, you know, if you are hurt, to have some people run to the rescue. These are things we know, all of this, you know, but what we learn, we know it's innately, but what we learn slowly is that that's how we have to treat others. If we want the shanti, you know, of dharma, in the protection of dharma, we have to be dharmic. It's not that everybody else has to be dharmic toward me, which we know that. You all must really be dharmic toward me. If you're doing the right thing, you will be loving and kind and respectful to me and help me when I'm in need and care about me when I'm sick and, you know, that's how you're supposed to be. somehow that translates into that's how I'm supposed to be. And the universe, our life, teaches us that. We learn it over and over and over again until we keep maturing into the shanti, the peace that that gives. And then that's our growth. And that growth, you can be growing in your skills and all of that type of thing, and that might pass over too. Like say if you're a great tennis pit player, you might take some scars into the next life. But really we're talking about, when we talk about Punya and Papa, we're talking about emotional, spiritual maturity. Just emotional maturity. Human maturity. You know. And as we're going kind of up and down, Dharma, a Dharma, 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 a Dharma. Becomes, as we grow, it becomes Dharma, Dharma, a Dharma do, Dharma do. You know, we grow, that's growth. Because, you know, that's growth. And that gives us a shanti, you know, and a freedom from fear. A Dharma gives a great freedom from fear, relatively speaking. So this is our growth. This is the growth. The other growths are not. If the growth into Dharma is not taking place, the other growths don't help our sense of well-being. So this growth is continually taking place, and I'm continually taking body after body. So what's the problem? That's what everybody else is doing too. And so when it's time for your parents to pass, or time for your partner to pass, we grieve for them, you know, which is a natural, innate thing. We grieve for them, we cry for them, we miss them, which is a human response. It's an innate response, but it's also is a wishing you well. You know, it's a wishing you well. It's a beautiful thing. The Swamiji's talked about this. I think it's getting very valuable. Grief is a natural response when you lose somebody that you love, even whether it's an animal, your pet, or a person, or your partner, or your parents. There's a natural grief. It comes that is so human, and I always feel that it's a beautiful thing. It's like they deserve that grief because of who they are. They deserve to have some tears shed for them. That is human and natural, you know. The problem is not that natural expression of Ishwara. You see, that it's Ishwara. It's an emotion that we're given. So it's a natural, very beautiful expression that is like a blessing. Also, it's a blessing. That grief is like a blessing toward that person. Also, it's a value. It's a beautiful value toward the person who has passed away, or the family member that has passed away. But there's a different kind of grief, which is, why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? Why did Bhagawan take my loved one away so quickly? And then there's kind of a network, of a grief network, you know, a grief web of grieving over the grief, you know. The grieving toward the one who's been lost, that's very, very pure. But and I consider it objective. That's Ishwara, Ishwara's expression. Emotions are Ishwara. You're born with an emotional life. So emotions are something beautiful. You can be with those emotions, you can welcome those emotions, and you can deal with those emotions in a beautiful way. But then there's the subjective reality, what we do subjectively with these emotions that are based in ajnanam. This shouldn't have happened, I shouldn't have this grief, Bhagawan shouldn't have done this to me, you know. So it's a grief that builds on itself, rather than a grief that is welcomed with that prasada buddhi. That welcoming with that prasada buddhi is knowledge, you know. It's knowledge, or it's great shraddha. great Shraddha, you know, that gives that objectivity as an Ajnani. And from the standpoint of Ajnani, you appreciate your own grief in reference to the loss of someone dear. That's a beautiful thing, and you can, you know, send them on their way. And respect that they were so dear to you and such a dear person that they actually invoke feelings. And so that's an important little distinction to make there, you know, because otherwise sometimes they can call, you know, spiritual seekers kind of walking heads. In other words, you don't realize that emotions themselves are a gift. You have emotions. They're very, very beautiful. But then just like everything else, subjectively, how do you respond to the emotions that are created? We'll be doing some meditations on this. It's a beautiful thing to really see. You don't create your emotions. Emotions are given. Emotions arise. You know? And so then it's a question of, they arise because of so many variables that have fallen into place between you and the situation or the other person. There's so many variables that have fallen into place to produce this emotion. There can be so much unconscious material also that comes into being to produce the emotion. So for us, we can't take responsibility really over the production of the emotion. There it is, you know, with, you know, countless variables that have gone into making that emotion arise. That isn't the issue. It's how are we with it? What do you do with that emotion? Can you welcome it? Can you hold it? Can you be with it? Can you dialogue with it? You know, can you care for it? Can you appreciate that you have emotions? Can you love that emotion? You know, can you embrace it? You know, or are you afraid of it? Afraid of it or angry that it's even there, and then you're pushing it away, and you don't want it, and you don't want this, and then of course we're just creating more pain around that emotion rather than honoring it, being with it and caring for it in a way that allows it to come and to go. Right? Emotions also are not permanent. They come, they rise, they hold you for some time, and then they go. The best way to be with them, the first thing is to allow them to be. You know, not be afraid of them. You know, even the emotion, two of the very hardest emotions to be with are shame and fear. Most of the shame and fear we pick up, especially shame, we pick up when you're little, usually. And it's a very uncomfortable emotion. So something can happen in your life that triggers that emotion of shame, you know. But then it's hard to welcome it. But that's what you need to do. When you welcome these more easy and difficult emotions, it's just such a beautiful thing, you know. Because then all of those feelings come out and you can hold it, you know, as kind of a loving parent or Ishta Devata or the adult you. You can be with it, you can welcome it, and just allow it to dissipate. The welcoming allows all emotions to dissipate, to just be there, present themselves to you, and then dissipate because you're not hanging on to them. You know? To have that, you know, like we want to be toward each other, to love, to like, and respect. That non-pushing away, that welcoming is such a... To even understand that, to practice that, it's such a very... It makes your life. That inner friend, the welcoming of that inner friend changes the whole inner space that you have. It gives you an underlying shanti to welcome the ashanti. Shanti welcomes the ashanti. That makes sense? Your relative peace welcomes the relative disruption or pain. And that's what that pain needs for all of us. The hurt self, the hurt person, needs to come into someone who loves it. that's why this inner friend is so makes such a difference in your life, and learning how to just welcome your experiences, be with them, have that dialogue with them, and, you know, accept them, the experiences as Ishwara. You have a response, you have a subjective response always to what experiences arise. You don't have much control over the experiences that arise. You know, it's like, why did I have that thought? Why did I have that emotion? I shouldn't have had that emotion. It's too late. You should have said that before the emotion came. Not going to happen. So, we'll read this other verse and we'll do a little bit on it more. These three verses are kind of like a set.
Avyaktani bhutani vyaktamadhyani bharata vyaktamadhyani bharata avyaktanidhananyeva avyaktanidhananyeva tatraka paridevana
Avyekta adini is a compound of avyekta adini, bhutani, vyekta madhyani, bharata. Avyekta nidanani eva tatraka paridevana. He says, again, just kind of wrapping up, also, all of these beings, all beings, bhutani, means, and Shankara says, the karyakarana sangata. Karyakarana sangata is this body, mind, sense organs complex. All of the elements and elementals that make up this body, mind, sense organs that we're identified with as me. All of those bhutas that make up this body, mind, sense organs, they begin as avyekta. All of the elements that go into making you a body, mind, sense organs, they begin as unmanifest. They're not always there, right? You are not always there. This body, mind, this particular jiva in this particular form, before you were born, it wasn't there. You had to take a new body. So you took the new body. That body was not here before. It was avyekta. The elements and all of the pieces and parts were there, but they had to come into manifest condition from the unmanifest. And now here you are. Okay. So in the beginning, this whole body, mind, sense organs person who has this life was avyekta, did not come into manifestation yet. Now, he says, all of these, this karyakarana sankhata, this subtle body, physical body combination, vyekta madhyani, is manifest in the middle. Okay. You were not here, you were not manifest. Now in the middle, madhya means middle, here you are, vyekta. You are manifest, you're here, talking to each other. I'm here, yes, I'm here. Then he says, hey Bharata, name for Arjuna, avyekta nidanani, at the end, eva. And at the end, in the end, nidana means in the end, at death, or at the end of this process, it's the beginning. Unmanifest, in the middle, manifest, and in the end, avyekta again, unmanifest. Okay, so in reference to this, which is just a fact, he says, reference to that, why all this paridevana? Why all of this consternation? Why all of this grief for this natural process of life itself? Coming into being, being present, going out of being. There's never a time when this is not happening, you know? And so, why not be with it? Why not welcome life as it is? Why not go along with Ishwara? Because we're not going along. We're not going along. We're not going along with something that you can't change, you know? You want Ishwara to become something different? How different can Bhagavan come? How can even Bhagavan become different without being Brahman? Bhagavan is Brahman. In terms of reality, there is no change. But there either is no change or there's change. See, if there's not a compromise, there's no change or there's change. The change can, some change is going quickly, some change is going slowly, but everything is in constant change. Everything is coming into manifestation from unmanifest to manifestation to unmanifest condition. We experience that moment by moment by moment by moment. So why don't we go with that? Why don't we bless that? Why don't we welcome that? Why are you grieving over what cannot be changed? What you cannot change? What no one else can change? What Ishwar himself or the Maya Upadi cannot change? Like Ishwar says, oh my gosh, they want change to stop. How will I do that? I think we'll have to withdraw the whole universe. We are going to have to withdraw totally space and duality and time. Otherwise, everything's affecting everything else. They don't want this universe. Should we just get rid of the whole thing? Let me go into unmanifest condition, bring the whole universe into unmanifest. We can stay there for a few centuries. It doesn't matter. But it will come out again because it is in unmanifest condition. Right? That which comes into unmanifest condition will come out of unmanifest condition. Maybe in a different form. Maybe in a different form. But it is still there. It's in unmanifest condition. That's why they view the whole creation as cyclical. This creation comes into manifestation, is there, goes out of manifestation. And everything in it is coming into manifestation and going out of manifestation. All of the bhutas. Bhutas means all of the elements. The element, space, air, fire, water, earth, and the elementals, by their nature, they're in continual motion. Your body, mind, sense organs are comprised of those elements. Right? And so either from the standpoint of the whole universe going into unmanifest condition and coming out, or from your standpoint going to unmanifested condition and coming out, that's just the way it is. There's only one thing is that it's not like that. And that one thing is free of time and space, and that is me. That's why, in spite of all of the incredible change, I am stable. I don't recognize that everything is disappearing on me all the time because I'm not disappearing. To just think of this, it's kind of interesting to just be with your experience and realize that what happened a few seconds ago is not here anymore. Not even a few seconds ago, because you can't find the moment. It is gone. This is here. That is gone. That is gone. That is gone. This is here. Right? I don't experience life like that because I am the presence in which time takes place. So for me, there's no time. And I'm the adhishtana of all of these things, all the experiences that are coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. All of those are mitya. They have absolute stability for their being, my being for their being. So even though there is absolute instability, that what is instable means subject to time and change, that is maya, right? And that maya has no existence at all apart from me, who am stable. So I experience change without and not experience change at the same time, because the adhishtana is not changing. So that gives me a lot of everything is fine. As the world keeps disappearing, replacing itself with every breath, everything's replacing itself. I don't see it. I don't feel it that way. It's true, but I don't feel it that way because myself is not going through that type of modification. So Arjuna, what's with all this sorrow? Because he says ka means what? Why? Why are you in so much grief? Yeah. So. And Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnasya.
Shante. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah.